Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com. Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers. Weren't fast enough to get away from me today.
Good to see you, Kraft.
Ran him down.
How are you doing?
I had a good angle and ran you down. Also, Dan LaTaraca keeping his eye on Facebook and Twitter. Max Henson is on assignment, not joining us today, but he'll have some stories on Panthers.com about a community event he's covering. So keep your eye on that. This is Wednesday after a rough weekend and a rough start to the week. I mean, there's no beating around it, guys. The team took it on the chin as the Broncos stampeded through Bank of America Stadium with the win on Sunday. A lot has happened. Let's get right to that update. Talking about the main thing that went on yesterday, Richard Rodgers moves up as a special teams coach now, taking over. Big news on Monday. Talk about yesterday and some of the fallout from that yesterday.
Yeah, Coach Rivera announced that to the media about 12:45 yesterday. I mean, you could tell, you know, that it's a tough moment for him. It's hard to let go of anybody on your staff. He's definitely a loyal guy. And, you know, along those lines, he now turns to Richard Rodgers, who he knows from way back in the day, you know, as part of the Cal Stanford, the play back in 82, who was an assistant this year for Murphy, giving him a little bit of help. And now he's the man at the trigger. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Basically, Coach Rivera's summary, pretty obvious. You know, it's a production-based league, and he's not getting from special teams what he wanted to get from special teams. So it's time to go in another direction.
And now that Richard Rodgers steps up, from what you know of him, Mick, We've watched him work the sidelines as assistant special teams coach. Now he moves into the first chair. What was some of the reaction? I know you talked to at least one player last night on your radio show. What were the reaction to players to this move?
It was actually a good player to have on, fellas. We didn't plan on this, but Richie Brockle was our player guest, and Richie Brockle plays a key role on many of the Panthers' special teams. And Richie was, you know, he was sensitive to the departure of Brian Murphy. They'd spent a year and a half together, and you develop relationships and a closeness, of course. But evidently, Coach Rodgers told the special teams meeting that we're going to be aggressive. This whole thing is going to be aggression based, and we're not going to be sitting back and catching blockers, reading and reacting. Special teams from here on out are going to be about trying to make plays, trying to be very aggressive, to try to blow things up, to try to scheme for some returns. You know, you figure Joe Adams might be a part of the mix. He's still in Coach Rivera's rearview mirror about maybe bring some sock in the return game. And you know, not that taking a punt or a kickoff back for a touchdown is the end all be all. But I think it's interesting. The last Panther punt return for a touchdown was Steve Smith in the 05 season. It was January of 06, a playoff game at Seattle. Since that time, the Panthers have had only one other return game touchdown, which was Kalo Polaris. And in that time, they've allowed 10. Nine punt returns for a touchdown have gone back, and then one kickoff return for a touchdown. So 10-1 against over the last 6.5 years. And that kind of tells you something about the ongoing struggles that we've had on teams.
Well, when you touched on Joe Adams, I mean, he hasn't seen any action since he had the two fumbles against the Giants. A rookie learning, and if you look across the board, there are a number of rookies who are getting a baptism under fire. He was one, and he hasn't touched the field since. You think that would change from what you heard from Coach Rivera?
Yeah, I think Coach really does want to get him out there, and it perfectly fits with the aggressive approach you've been talking about. I mean, Captain Munderlin is a solid punt returner who's going to field the ball for you and try to get a few yards for you, but he's not a dynamic make you miss kind of guy. But Coach wants to get him out there, but he has to have confidence in him. And he said he's seen more consistency from Joe in practice the last couple of weeks, and he's had a very close eye on him. But he's still he's almost there, and it could be this week. But it's been Coach's decision to not play him, Coach Rivera's decision, because he said to have two good days, one bad day. He can't have any bad days for him to have the confidence to put him in there.
Well, as we look at what went wrong in the loss on Sunday, it wasn't just special teams. Offensively, third down woes, I mean, that was a real head-scratcher. And it wasn't like in every situation, guys, that we were in third and long. There were some really what I thought were layup third downs, third and four, third and five, that were attainable, where it just looked like the offense could not move out of his shadow, and especially for a long stretch during that game. What did you gather from yesterday's conversations about what will happen there, how that can improve?
I was telling some friends of mine in Greensboro Monday, Crafty, that going back to when I was a kid, who among us didn't get into their mom's stash of trashy novels and get that Sidney Sheldon novel when we were a kid, and you'd use your Evelyn Woods speed reading to try to figure out where are the good parts.
Okay, you lost me on that. I'm not going there with you, but anyway, I'm gonna let you make your point.
This Denver game had all the plot lines. It had the characters. It had the John Fox return. It had Cam Newton against Peyton Manning. It had everything that you would want a good read to have, but there were no good parts. You're looking through there going, 0 of 12 on third down. You can't even get a third down, and there was a lot of third and two, a lot of third and makeables in there. You give up a safety, you give up a punt return for a touchdown. I mean, it was just one of those games. Normally, NFL teams have about two games a year where either you just don't show up or the opponent gets rolling and they get stronger and better throughout the game and things go poorly. The Giants was that for us, and then, of course, Denver was that too.
Well, being an O-line guy, I mean, there is no excusing the play of the offensive line. And a lot of times you would say, well, I would be defensive about offensive line because a sack is not always the line's fault. I mean, it has to do with the play, you know, with what you're trying to accomplish on the play. Quarterback, receiver, running backs, everybody contributes to a successful or a non-successful play, unsuccessful play. And but in that game, I went back and looked at every snap offensively yesterday on film, and quite frankly, there were guys losing individual battles. And what may be most concerning about that is we're coming up against a team, and we'll talk more about Tampa. We're coming up against a team that really set the tone for how to defeat this Panthers offense. Challenge them up front. Give them a lot to think about, especially some guys who are young and still trying to learn their position, or guys who are out of position. And everything was on display on film. And you just have to feel like Tampa Bay is licking their chops coming in here this week. And the Panthers have to correct some of these things offensively, especially on the offensive line.
I mean, there is no excusing. I'm sure that's what each individual is saying. You know, they're going to look in the mirror and put together a better performance than they plan to Sunday. But there is an excuse, too, I will throw out there. I mean, we talked to Chudzinski yesterday about the impact of losing Ryan Khalil. And, I mean, you know, I think Jeff Hungar is in a very good job at center considering the situation. But obviously it's not going to be seamless when you lose a pro baller like that. And it really seemed to catch up with the team yesterday.
Yeah, it did. And Denver took advantage of it. Well, as always, we count on you, the fans, in our social networks to kind of drive the show with your questions. Dan, what do we have to question-wise on our social networks?
A lot of questions, obviously, today after Sunday's game. But we have plenty of fans asking about Trenton Holliday's touchdown and why was it not reviewed and overturned because he flipped the ball out the last second there.
That's an easy one. The NFL made a mistake. It was all scoring plays are to be reviewed. The booth takes a look at it, and I don't know whether they were – you know, they were going for donuts or just missed it. Or I mean, on the radio side, we didn't catch it either.
Right.
So maybe TV had a good view of it, but it was just a mistake. The NFL has already issued an apology there. That should have been a touchback, the ball going the Panthers' way on the 20. But if you take a sort of a global look at it, would that have – I mean, it would have been nice, but
it was a
big difference in the game.
Momentum swing because at that time the defense had played pretty well, not giving up any scores. Now, look, one thing Coach was upset about, not the flip, but necessarily the illegal blocks on the play.
A couple of those.
And I went back and looked at the coach's film. I mean, there were two blatant illegal blocks on the play, and I contend one illegal use of hands holding on the play that were not called, and one should have been within radar of the sideline judge.
Yeah, officials are usually pretty good about calling those, and it was frustrating later in the game to see that we got called for one that was way away from the play, and away from the ball is. And it's like, how do you miss the one right in front of you and see one that has nothing to do with the play? But, I mean, as we know, those things happen, and Yeah, I will say this. I'm not going to defend the replay officials for missing that. But, Mick, you pointed out you didn't see it either. I have to think they did review it, but their focus was on whether he stepped out of bounds near midfield when Brad Nortman tried to knock him out of bounds. Yeah. And I think just human nature, you almost wouldn't think to look at the end of the play. I mean, no one saw it till well after the fact. That's their job, though. I understand that.
But once that field, the extra point was kicked, it was done. Yeah. There was no reviewing at all. Any more questions there, Dave?
Yeah, back to the offensive line. We have a lot of fans asking about what other major sources of the struggle, and how do you fix those kind of things week in, week out, and make those types of tweaks?
Well, the thing is, and I said this on the post-game show, it's going to take place with the guys in that room right now. There's nobody on the street coming in, you know, right now. No Hall of Famers coming out of retirement to help you. It has to be the guys in the room. And they will have to do it together, because a couple of the things I saw actually dealt with some, like I said, losing individual battles, but then again, some of the nuances. Because you call a scheme and guys are supposed to block this guy, that guy, and the other guy. But within that scheme, there are things that are not written into the play where guys knowing each other, and this goes to your point on Ryan Khalil, guys knowing each other, and you can have a feel for, yeah, we may be double teaming this guy, but I'm looking off the corner and there's pressure coming, I leave, and you feel it and take over. And that becomes a feel thing with offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And when you have a group of guys that have worked together for a long time, you see it a lot more. And sometimes when you have guys that haven't worked together, there's just not that feel there. I mean, there's X's and O's, and then there's also team chemistry and playing together. And this O-line has not been together long enough to develop that. But it has to change quickly.
Also,
it has to.
Also, Crafty, you know, pass blocking is a very nuanced skill that has to be learned over time. Silatolu, probably a pretty good run blocker because he's a mauler and he can get his hands on you and get movement. But the whole pass blocking thing, he really benefited from having Ryan Khalil and Jordan Gross as sort of bookends, if you will. So you take one of those bricks out of the wall, and his rookiness may be exposed even more.
Mick, to your point there, we had someone tweet at us, Benjamin Bruning, an NC State University alum, saying that Silatolu has had more snaps, 488 plus 26 on special teams, than any other Panthers offensive lineman this year. So, you know, with a guy like, you know, Gross getting hurt earlier in the year and Khalil missing the season, you have a guy, a rookie, who is no veteran presence around him to learn from.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough road to hoe. I mean, the NFL is not a forgiving business. The guys on the other team, they know who's what, and they know who's been around and who hasn't. And they're going to try to take advantage of that. And I looked at the way the Broncos used Von Miller. I mean, he was an edge rusher, and we had kind of a bad matchup there because they put their fastest edge rusher on one of our biggest, strongest players, but not necessarily our most nimble player. That's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
And it was a tough thing to watch. But I have confidence in everybody down there on that in that locker room that they have pride in what they do, and they will work hard this week to clean up a lot of those mistakes.
Maybe put some trap scheme in, because if your guard's getting road graded, go ahead and bring that tackle trap around and block somebody from the side if you can get there in time. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But you got to scheme for it. If you know you're porous in the O-line, the ball has to come out. It's not thoracic surgery. The ball's got to get out of there quickly. It just has to.
Absolutely.
All right. As we move on, let's talk about Tampa a little bit coming into town. This was the team that pretty much, as I said, started the Panthers' issues this year with that very first game. Any talk about what was learned from that first game and how it'll be helpful?
Well, I mean, you know, this ties into all the stuff we've been talking about with the offensive line, but, you know, Coach Chizinski yesterday said, we got to be able to run the ball against Tampa. And 10 rushing yards against Tampa in the season opener, that was certainly a tone setter. And then we're coming off 52 against Denver, which was the second lowest total of the season. So somehow, some way, and I don't know how, we got to be able to run the ball against Tampa, unlike the last meeting and unlike last week.
They're going to run it. I mean, Doug Martin, yeah. This young guy out of Boise State, he had a 251-yard, four-touchdown game 2 weeks ago. Tampa's won four of the last five. They won, I think, three in a row, and they're getting hot at the right time. So they're going to be tough.
As we talk about some of these, and just trying to pull any positive that we can out of the game, what was said about the defense's performance? I know I talked to Luke Kuechly after the game, and he said our job is to pitch a shutout. Well, you can't do that every time. And when you're facing one of the great quarterbacks of all time in Peyton Manning, who will just be on – it's like death by paper cuts. Because he didn't really go deep. He went late in the game, a couple times in the middle of the game. But he just was so proficient in what he did. It makes it very tough to cover up everything. Yeah. And he will find whatever is exposed. But defensively, things seem to be picking up, especially the play of the defensive ends. Talk about that, guys.
I thought the scheme. I like the we're seeing the evolution of this defensive scheme. Where against Denver, there was more risk reward. There were harder corners. There were additional pass rushers coming. The Panthers were not just sitting in one coverage and letting Peyton Manning diagnose that. And you're right about the defensive ends. Going into last week's game, this defensive end tandem of Hardy and Johnson had more sacks as a pair than any other defensive end tandem in the NFL except Houston. So they could not be doing their jobs if Edwards and Edwards weren't playing good sound football in the interior. So that honey hole in the pocket where the quarterback can shuffle up, that's been taken away by the Edwards boys, and then the ends collapsing in, winning their battles against tackles. It's been a good formula.
Yeah, and again, I mean, bottom line, the defense keeping teams out of the end zone for the most part still. I believe, let me do the math on this in my head real quick, 7 offensive touchdowns in the last 5 games. Just 1 in 3 of the games, and then 2 with Denver getting the one late this past week.
You can win with that.
Yeah.
You can win with that. And I'm going to tell you, just talking about Greg Hardy, I mean, talk about a special talent. He's also the gunner on the punt team. How many defensive ends in history? I mean, maybe you think back to, I don't know. He's just doing a great job there. He's running down covering punts, and he's also sacking quarterbacks. I mean, doing a yeoman's job. Both of those guys coming through in the clutch. How about some more questions, Peter?
Yeah, a lot of fans are asking about David Geddes, and do we think that he'll get more playing time Sunday versus Tampa Bay?
Well, he's getting his legs under. I mean, you watch him in practice, and I look at David Geddes now, thinking about where he's come physically, and you look at him, he looks a lot more mature than when he first came in. And I know he's been working his way back from injury, but I am really looking forward to seeing what he can do because, I mean, when he first came, he was able to stretch the field. And, everything can't be predicated on going deep all the time, but just to have that element opens up a lot underneath, and it'll be exciting to see how he looks during his comeback.
He was skinny when he first got here, and we all know that you cannot trust skinny people. And he's gained weight. He looks like almost a Brandon Marshall kind of receiver.
He does.
He's got the long frame, and he's gained a bunch of weight. If he can keep his speed and get confidence in his wheels again, who knows?
Well, he would definitely mature as he comes along. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. Thanks for joining us here on the Panthers Pulse. On behalf of all of the guys, Mick, Brian, Dan, Dave, Greg somewhere, and Berkeley on the wheels of steel.
And you're crafty. Don't forget
intern Maurice either. By the way.
Don't forget Maurice. Throw a shout out to everybody.
Nice one, Brian.
You guys have a great time. We'll see you right here next week.
Thanks, Nick.